All right, you guys ready? All right. Well, fellas, made it out of the group chat. Finally, after about a year or two chatting Gator Ball every day, we've brought Breakfast with the Gators finally to a podcast form. We're proud members of the Stadium Gale Network. This is just going to be your typical Saturday morning tailgate. A lot of laughs, a lot of hot takes, but everything's going to be revolved around Florida Gator football, athletics, as we dive deeper into the fall, into the winter. But we are excited. Will, how do you feel?
Feeling good. Excited for the season, and no controversies on Gator Twitter today. 0 days since a controversy. So excited to get this going. You know, I've been a Gator fan for my entire life. My dad went to UF. My grandfather went to UF. My mom went to UF. Contrary to popular belief, based on my Twitter mentions, whenever I have a bad take blow up, where everybody says that, you know, I'm probably not a UF actual Gator grad or anything like that. I graduated from UF in 2018. I graduated from law school from UF in 2023.
Way back in
2017, I was the chairman of Homecoming and Gator Growl. I actually brought Snoop Dogg to Flavitt Field, and Tim Tebow was our host along with Titus O'Neill. So I think I'm about as orange and blue as it gets, although I am wearing my Black Flag Mentality team issued G-Unit hoodie shirt, and just in honor of Billy Napier. So pleasure to be with you guys tonight. I've known Jackson for a very long time. I've known Sam for a few years. I met Hunter and Devin in law school, and Hunter and I were actually NIL interns under Marcus Castro Walker for the team back in Billy's first year. So, Hunter, why don't you introduce yourself to the folks?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, William, for that spirited introduction. Similar to Will, both parents went to UF. I had a couple grandparents go there as well. Grew up, diehard Gator fan. Not quite as old as Will, which you could probably tell. I went to UF 2017 to 2020 undergrad in the J school. And then straight into law school, 2020 to 2023, graduated same year as Will. In undergrad, I worked for the football team in the video production department. Shout out Rue, best video coordinator in the country. And then, as Will mentioned, in law school, we were NIL legal interns there for a few years. And yeah, just passionate about Gator sports like the rest of us here, and excited to podcast for our favorite team. I'll pass it over to Dev.
What's up, boys? I can't believe they're going to let a group of guys like us get together and talk Florida Gators every week this fall. Going to have plenty of laughs. It's going to be a fun season. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm coming to you live from beautiful Northeast Florida. Can't claim Duval County anymore, but from Nassau County. Like they've said, I went to UF Law a few years ago with Hunter and Will. Been buddies with our producer and co-host Jake Lovelace since my time at Florida. Met Barefoot Jackson at a few tailgates over the years, and then have gotten to chat it up with Sammy these last couple of months. Been a Gator season ticket holder my whole life. My grandpa got tickets back in the Emmitt Smith days. My dad and my godfather have some fun stories of the 90s going through the Spurrier years. Trip to New Orleans for the national championship, all that good stuff. So looking forward to this year, looking forward to making some more fun memories with you guys and bringing the rest of the Gator Nation along for the ride with us. We all talk about the Gators together every day, so having a platform to share that with everybody else, it's exciting. Can't wait to see what this project turns into. Sammy, go ahead and
absolutely. That was beautiful, Dev. Happy to be here, boys, obviously. You know I'm Sam, but to the audience, my name's Sam. I'm actually originally, unlike these guys, I'm not from Florida. I'm an implant, and then I moved. But I moved to Florida from Minnesota when I was 8 to the Tampa area, just kind of right at the heyday of the Gators, right when Leak and Tebow were kind of doing their thing and painted my first room in Florida orange and blue walls. So it was always Gators for me from the start. Didn't necessarily have all the connections as you guys had. My parents didn't go to college, so that's one thing. But I always wanted to go to be a Gator. I ended up moving down to Key West to do high school. So it was a little bit away from the Central Florida area, but still had my love for the Gators. Was not smart enough in high school to get through to that. So I did 1 year at FAU, absolutely hated it. And then I ended up transferring to UF in 2017. And then I graduated in December of 2019 with a degree in sports media journalism, had some classes with Lovelace, just a great school, always wanted to be there. I'm now living in the desert. I'm out in Arizona, so I'm kind of a different correspondent, if you will, can kind of give the at home watching from the TV take. We'll definitely have a different insight, and hopefully we'll get with the boys to catch a game this year because it's definitely been a while. But known most of these guys just through text, but Jackson was definitely one of my best friends through college. So happy to do this with him and the other boys. And I'll throw it to Raymer, who doesn't need much of an introduction with the Gatorverse. But let's hear what you got to say.
Real quick, Sam, are you a Big J?
I do have a degree from the Weimer School of Journalism. I no longer use that, but I was once a Big J. I actually probably should have highlighted. I did cover the football team for 2 years and the basketball team for 3 years during my time in school. So I was there for the good Mullen years and the average Mike White years. So had a lot of fun writing about those things.
Well, great, guys. Let's kick it off. Let's get straight into it. Year four. Obviously,
oh, Jackson, you got to tell us about yourself.
All right. Went to UF in 2019. I graduated from UF in 2019. Grew up in the Gainesville area. Have known Will the longest out of this bunch. If it wasn't us watching Breakfast with the Gators on Sunday morning, it was who could break 50 on the golf course, as was Will and I's original relationship growing up. So we've been talking ball for a long time. I know I did cover the Gators in college as well. That's kind of where I met Sam a little bit, and these guys interacted.
That's not true.
It's not true, but that's where we kind of grew our relationship.
I'll share. We met through our ex-girlfriends.
There you go. went out to Arizona for a little bit and covered some JUCO and high school athletics. No longer do that. I'm now in Duval County. So just a quick drive over from Gainesville. We go back for all the basketball, football games, and season ticket holders since 2004. Now just a platform for us to share our bad takes to the public. You know, it's tired of us just roasting each other in a group chat forum. So now it's time for the internet to get after us a little bit.
To roast Will with us even more.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, fellas, let's get after it. Year four. Expectations. You know, this is the best roster we've had arguably on both sides of the ball in over a decade. We've had some pretty good defenses, but they didn't have that partnership with an offense. We've had some good offenses and did not have a defense on the other end. This year, I feel like we've got a little bit of a good combination on both sides of the ball with the veteran leadership and special teams. So, Hunter, I'll kick it off with you, man. What are the expectations? This team, the Vegas, I believe the win total is 7.5. I apologize. Where does it get done in Billy Napier's fourth year?
Yeah, I think from an over-under standpoint, if he doesn't clear the 7.5, then I think you know what has to happen. If he hits 8-4, I think a lot of people would tell you it depends on how it happened. Who'd you beat? Who'd you lose to? How did it look? Personally, 9-3, or you got to move on. He has the best roster he's had, like you mentioned. You got the generational quarterback. You have the talent on the offensive line, a lot of returning snaps there. To me, this is the year. It's you know, spot the ball, as he says. So that's how I feel, playoff or bust, and I know others may feel differently.
Yeah, it's tough to say playoff or bust, but when you look at 4 returning starters on the offensive line, 5,000 returning snaps, a Heisman odds favorite coming into the season at quarterback, the type of dudes we have on defense coming back, you got Sat, Gums, the freshmen that are emerging on the defensive line, Jaden Woods, the linebacker, the roster's there. And, you know, the way I've looked at it this offseason is, through 3 years, we have a 500 coach, a 6-6 coach, and we have a 12-0 quarterback. So if that balances out to 9-3, obviously to go 9-3, it means you have to have beaten a Georgia, a Texas, an LSU, a Miami, one of those types of teams to get there. So if 9-3 is good enough to get into the playoff, that's what the expectation is. There's not a game on the schedule that we're outclassed physically player to player. So that's how I'm going into this season. It's a playoff or bust in the sense that anything less than 9-3 isn't meeting the expectations that you have with this kind of roster.
I would agree to the sentiment of we got to see 9-3, and definitely to Hunter's point, like if that Vegas over doesn't hit, some phone calls are probably going to be made. Just with the greater scope of college football, it feels like it is kind of now or never, like in a good way. Like it's very open. A lot of questions, like your top teams are still there, you know, Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, all the others, but there's a lot of question marks and we can maybe slot in there, but I definitely think it needs to be 9-3. With our schedule, I could see a world where we go 8-4 and we don't fire him. But I hope we got to see 9-3. It's about time.
I can see Will smirking over there when he said 8-4 and not firing him.
I mean, we haven't fired him.
Well, it might not be for the reason you think. I mean, last year I think changed me as a Gator fan. Everybody saw the reports. Everybody was talking about it. There has never been a deader man walking after Miami won, and then somehow he got even deader after the Texas A&M game. I remember sitting there in the rain thinking, I mean, the guy got booed for a DUI ad.
You can't kill him.
Yeah, he does have alligator blood. So, you know, I mean, knock on wood here, of course, but Lagway gets hurt and you're playing like the full season with Aiden Werner and you go 6-6. I think people would be talking about him being coach of the year. I have very high expectations. I think we have an unbelievable roster. You know, people say 9-3. I'm thinking more 10-2, 11-1. I think with a quarterback like Lagway, who from what I've seen, like the guy was playing on one leg. People have injury, you know, concerns about him. He beat Ole Miss, LSU, and then, you know, he went to FSU and basically was handcuffed by Billy's offense and you know, a couple plays there. But I mean, we all saw the play where he just threw, I think that was what, Farmer, that he just threw the guy down like a rag doll and just completes a pass. Like they're like, there's something about him that is different that we really haven't seen from a Florida quarterback, even before probably Will Grier. Like Will Grier was good, but he wasn't like this. And whenever I'm looking at the schedule and I'm thinking best case scenario, we're in training camp, we hear all these positive stories and everything, I think there's a legit chance that we could go 10-2, 11-1. My Gator gut is telling me we could go 12-0. But there's so many different questions that will pop up. And, you know, we have questions about game management and things like that. So high expectations, but I will never believe again that, you know, he has to hit this certain mark. Otherwise he's fired. I just don't know that that's what happens anymore.
Well, yeah, that's why I said 8-4. We'll see him again.
I was saying personally too, by the way. I mean, I understand knowing Scott Strickland, how he functions. An 8-4 team with DJ Lagway coming back for his junior year, obviously, I don't think he's going anywhere. What I think should happen versus what I think will happen is far different. And context matters, right? Yeah, if DJ Lagway goes down, he goes 6-6 with Aiden Warner, then agreed. He's going to get another year. More so, I meant my thoughts, and I agree with Devin. 9-3 in my head, because of who you'd have to beat, would get you in the playoff. But if you go 9-3 and don't make the playoffs, then yeah, he's coming back at 9-3, obviously. So, Jackson,
we keep bringing up the schedule, right? And how difficult it is. You come to the University of Florida for these games. You signed up for this job. You get paid $7 million a year. That's written in the contract, right? And the expectation is to win. You get this 5-star quarterback who's, like Devin mentioned, a Heisman odds favorite. You've built an offensive line with the insurmountable amount of snaps they've had, 5,000-plus career snaps. You bring back a running back room. I mean, arguably the most loaded room in the league and probably the country. We got three guys in the depth chart that can play almost anywhere in the country. So from that perspective, 10-2 is realistically where I see the Gators. Like Will said, our heart tells us 12-0. We're going to spot the ball every Saturday. And we expect to win, right? There's not a team out there. We're going to walk into that stadium and say, all right, well, this is going to be another beatdown. And we're going to be on the losing side. I don't see that with Lagway, especially defensively. This is just – and I'll get into this a little bit later in my hot takes. But this is the first time under Napier we've had a defensive coordinator be retained. I know last year he had the co-DCs with Armstrong and Ron Roberts, but it was Ron Roberts' defense. I think something changed there after the first few weeks. You saw the improvement. We've got a lot of good guys on the defensive line, the linebacker room. A little bit concerns in the secondary, but we saw the young guys last year late in the season step up with all the injuries. So I'm with Will on this one. 10-2 it should be the expectation. This is, you know, Napier, there's a lot of questions with his game management and his Saturday play calling and what happens on the field. But speaking with some people, from the last snap of the previous season to the first snap, that 8-9 month window, I don't know if there's a better guy in the country than Napier in terms of building a roster, recruiting, gaining momentum in the summertime. Unfortunately, we see happens in the 3-4 month stretch once we get to late August, early September, and all of our, you know, all of our talks change a little bit. Our narratives change. So hopefully he proves us all wrong. We got some big games. Thankfully this year we got LIU and USF to kind of, you know, get our feet a little bit wet. You know, we don't have to go play Utah twice to start his campaign. And then obviously Miami last year and the disaster that was. So hopefully we can gain a little bit of momentum before we get in the league play, before we got to go at Miami. But this roster is way too good. We've got some serious threats on all sides of the ball, and even special teams. We've got some guys in the return game, I think, are going to make a difference. Finally, the game changers are going to make a difference for the Gators, not the other teams.
One of the other things that I've noticed is that I listen to every single press conference that Billy has. I have all the way back to the McElwain days, ever since he sold out Felipe after the Texas A&M game and, you know, claimed these phantom death threats. He's talking differently than he has in the past. I know, you know, I was thrown off a little bit because last year at Media Days, he, you know, was talking about how the Gators are going to surprise some people. And then we came out and laid the stinker of all stinkers against Miami and then did it again against Texas A&M. But if you listen to him in the press conference, he's very methodical. He chooses his words very carefully. And he is talking confidently about championship aspirations. And if you harken back to, you know, Anthony Richardson has been in the news and you've seen all, you know, of course, the play against Utah. And you remember what he said the first Monday, the first press conference right after. He said, everybody wants to put the crown on the Gators, but we have so much work to do. He's not talking like that anymore. He is talking about we have not lived up to the expectations of championship level defenses at the University of Florida. That is something we need to do. We've done it in the past at Louisiana. We think we can do it this year. And he's talking about the just competitive depth that they have, which is a real thing in the SEC. Obviously stars are really what, you know, make the headlines, but you know, you have people get banged up as obviously Florida has in training camp, but it happens all across the league. And to be able to have second and third team guys step in and not really see a drop off at some of those positions like offensive guard or defensive tackle or linebacker like we have in the past where it was starter or bust for us. Yeah, he seems to be much more cautiously optimistic about the roster. One of the things that really stuck out to me was he said he thinks that there are more game ready players this year than he's ever had at Florida. And so I think that really should weigh into all of our expectations. I'm riding high on the Gators this year, as I am always. But
dare we say he's learning?
He might be. He might be.
Might be figuring it out.
He might. He just might be figuring it out.
I'll play pessimist off that a little bit. I echo what you're saying. I'm just curious. I think when people talk about if you did a pros and con list on Billy Napier as a coach thus far, one of the cons is game day management, you know, play calling, those kind of things. When it comes to the confidence, that obviously seems to be growing, which is great because that tells you the talent on the team, his expectations for the team, the mentality is going in the right direction, which we want. Is it enough to overcome some of the deficiencies we've seen?
It might not be, but I think, you know, watching the spring game, I think Ryan O'Hara and Russ Callaway were the ones who called the plays there seemed to be more quick game with the offense. Now, maybe that, you know, they keep talking about how Russ Callaway gets promoted and promoted. And, you know, now I think he might be our offensive coordinator. He I don't really know what his official title is, but I know that they sort of have a committee approach. So I think it really, his game day management and his offensive play calling, to me, it all depends on how much he relies on the other guys. He is a brilliant run game coordinator. And him and Rob Sale have like a clear tandem where they will take just some random big dude off the streets and turn him into a like NFL caliber draft pick type road grader. But when it comes to some of the passing concepts, I think he needs to mix it up a little bit. And I'm hoping that based on what I saw in the spring game, that'll happen. So that's part of where my optimism comes from. Sam, Devin, what do you guys think?
To echo, just kind of piggybacking off of Hunter's, like, is he able to overcome the deficiencies? I think that just all points to number two. Like, that's the guy. He's going to be the one that can overcome deficiencies. To like Will's point earlier, we haven't had a guy like that in a while. Like, obviously, AR was this incredible athlete. You know, if he didn't see one read, tuck and run, make a great play. There's so many more elements to DJ. Like, he can do maybe a couple reads, and he can still has that run game element, which we have not really seen yet, which is intriguing but also scary. You know, you don't want him to get hurt, but I think the deficiencies, obviously it's scary, but I think he clearly has the quarterback, if it's not him, that can get over the deficiencies. Oof, I don't know.
And that was the exact point that I was going to make, Sam. We're looking at a coach that's 12-19 in games that Lagway does not start and finish, and 7-0 that game in games that Lagway does start and finish. So if you're dealing with a player that's this transcendent, we don't have to prognosticate anything. It's this is what this team can be with DJ Lagway. And that's a ton of pressure on him, but that's what you come to Florida for. That's what you come here to win championships for, to put the rest of the team, to put the coaching staff at times on your back, to overcome whatever issues we have with the scheme or with, you know, decision-making, in-game management. We have a quarterback that's already overcome that as a true freshman. How many quarterbacks in the history of Florida football have gone into Tallahassee? Now, historically bad, they were terrible last year. We all know that. How many true freshman quarterbacks have gone into Tallahassee and won a championship? How many true freshman quarterbacks have beaten back-to-back ranked teams, obviously at home, but on one leg coming off injury? We have a special quarterback that's overcome whatever coaching deficiencies and whatever problems we think we have with Billy Napier. So if he stays healthy, I think that that's what you can expect to see come this fall too. There's no reason for us to think that he individually takes a step back or can't put the team on his back as a sophomore.
I agree, Devin. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time in conference history we've watched great quarterbacks take a bad or an average coach and win a national championship. We saw Gene Chizik in 2010 and Joe Burrow take Ed Orgeron, right? I mean, it's possible. And what we've seen out of Lagway, it's just beating a dead horse at this point, but it's the season goes as two goes, right? That's how it's kind of with how we thought about Walter Clayton 2 years ago with the Gators. And now it's pretty similar with DJ Lagway. So concluding on that, playoffs. Are we in? Are we out? What are the expectations? Do we win the conference? You know, step one, we talk about playoff ability and getting there to win a national championship. But arguably, it's harder to win the SEC than it is to get in the playoffs. So do we go to Atlanta? Sam, I'll give this opportunity for you. What are your thoughts?
I'm not going to go back on I feel 9-3, so I'm going to stick with that. Let the chips fall where it may. I don't think that gets us to Atlanta. It could get us on the back end of the playoff, but I'll stay firm at my 9-3. If I said we were going to go to Atlanta, that would just be going against my word. So I'm going to stay at the 9-3, no Atlanta, and maybe we sneak in on the back end just because the schedule with if the three losses are, you know, good. Yes. What you got, Will?
I don't know that the Gators are going to make Atlanta just because of all the things. Like, it literally would be because of number two. You know, thinking about all the things that he would have to overcome to really get us there. But if the Gators ended up in Atlanta and were playing Alabama or Texas again, or even Texas A&M, or I guess now we could technically play Georgia, it wouldn't shock me just because I think the roster is there. I think that Billy does – he is showing signs of improvement, like every single place that we've wanted him to show signs. And so maybe it all comes together and we have kind of a dream season. You know, it's kind of like what Josh Pate always says, all these guys like Ryan Day – they're all, you know, can't win the big one kind of guys until they do win the big one. And then what do they say about them? And so it definitely could happen. I would be right there at the Mercedes-Benz, but I don't know that it will happen.
Hey, we're amongst our people. I don't mind lying. Gators, SEC champions.
You know, Dev, we still got a little bit of time before getting to our hot takes, my man. So, you know, if we win the SEC championship, that you got us as a top four seed. We don't get to host in the swamp. But I don't see the Gators in Atlanta. Like 10-2, I believe the LSUs, Texases, or Georgias will have that one loss to get them to the SEC championship game. But 10-2, I mean, you're a shoo-in into the college football playoffs. And having one of those 5-8, seed range, and so we're going to host a playoff game in the Swamp this December. So I know we always talk about no fall weddings, but now with the new expansion of the playoffs, we got to move that into December and January as well, everybody, if you're listening. So we've marked off late August to kind of mid-January now is officially no wedding season.
Late January is fine. It's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you still got – for the Jags fans in here, I know you want to deal with a Super Bowl-bound team or a deep playoff run.
Well, say if you were going to get married on a Friday, and I mean, the game's going to be on a Sunday, so you're good.
Okay, there you go. Then, you know, you got to plan out in advance for that and make sure your significant one also wants to get married.
Not covering for anybody in particular here.
Hunter, where do you see the Gators at, falling in the SEC standings?
I do not see us in the SEC championship. I want nothing more than to be proven wrong like anyone else who doesn't think we'll make it there. Sam kind of touched on the season prediction. I think we're going to get into that, but just to go that same route, I have us right in between 8-4 and 9-3. Haven't made up my mind all the way. I'll do that here in the next 30 minutes, I guess. But obviously, either one of those records probably does not have us in the SEC championship, so I'm going to stick with that for now.
Right, but we'll jump into. I know we posted on Twitter earlier today, which we'll be doing since this is going to be an instant reaction show right after the games. We'll probably post a tweet every Saturday, fourth quarter, or as soon as the game ends. Some questions that you want on the show. So we appreciate everybody that took time and provided us with some questions. We'll go with our guy Brick. Let's talk about some position groups. But his question is, I mean, Lagway hasn't seen a pass rush since Tulane, right? How do you think this is going to – the lack of participation in the fall camp will impact his chemistry with his receivers and offensive line? Will there be a significant drop-off? I understand we've already talked about the Lagway segment, but just two guys real quick. Let's get some thoughts on any concerns without seeing a live pass rush in, what is that, 9 months now, 9.5 months?
I mean, that's scary. You have two tune-up games that give me a little bit more of a relaxed feel going into the season without seeing the 11-on-11 work. You'll see him get a few series, hopefully not too much, against LIU. And then, you know, USF has a pulse. They're a real opponent. You'll have to come out and execute and play well. And I think having those two games before you have to go to Baton Rouge, that puts me more at ease than I would be otherwise.
I mean, he's good. I think he's going to be just fine. Maybe he's doing the VR training, you know, chilling, simulating, doing the Jaden Daniels method. Obviously, I understand the concern, but, like, that's what LIU is for. That's what USF is for. I was talking to Jackson Devin. I do find the USF game a little important just because, like, set the tone. Don't play with your food. Like, send a message going into the road trip LSU-Miami, whereas previous years we've had, like, a slow start. But I think that's exactly what LIU is for, even though he's probably going to play, like, the first quarter. And at USF, you'll get some better reps. I understand the concern, but we got a guy.
Yeah, I think it's, like, ride a bike for him. He hasn't seen it in a while. He's going to hop back on. He might be rusty a little bit the first series, but it's perfect that we have LIU and then USF, which again, don't sleep on USF. I think Golish is a very good coach. I think that he's brought in some good, solid, you know, kind of power four washout transfers. And he obviously played Bama tough. I think, yes. Well, USF did. I think he was only one, the coach one time, but last year they were pretty injured and they still made a bowl game. And I believe at that point they were still favored.
I think he was the coach both times they played USF.
Okay. Don't sleep on them. And last time we played USF, we obviously didn't blow them out like everybody had hoped. So,
they had a field goal to tie the game with 45 seconds left, like a 45 yarder.
Forgot
that's
about
how close that game was.
Do not sleep on Golish, but luckily Lagway can complete a screen pass, and Anthony Richardson's on the bench somewhere in Indianapolis.
I was live tweeting during that USF game saying Jeff Scott's putting on a hell of an audition to be our future offense coordinator. I think that could have worked out well if Billy might have learned a few things earlier in his tenure. We're still working on the offensive coordinator.
He would have been a great offensive coordinator if we'd never hired Tom Herman on Billy's first week on the job.
That's an excellent point.
I forgot. That never actually happened.
Long list. Right.
Freshmen, fellas. We got a lot of them. A lot of emerging guys we've seen through fall camp. I won't rattle off all the names. I'll let you guys have your opinions. What you've seen through the spring game, what we've read throughout the summer, fall camp. Will, I'll start with you. Which guy's sticking out?
I mean, the household name who I guess he's become a household name is Jaden Woods. Whenever you listen to this guy interview, he does sound like a just polished NFL veteran. It's pretty crazy. He seems to have kind of a workman attitude, just coming in and everything. But look out for the defensive line. It seems like we've heard some good things about some of the projects in Bachu and McLeod. And so I'm expecting, usually one of the really nice things about like these LIUs, these USF games, is you can see the younger players really flash. Once we get into the third and fourth quarter of those games, I'm excited to see what those defensive line guys and those young offensive line guys, because these games are really important for their development. There's nothing that can replicate, live game reps. Going in practice is not the same. And so I'm very excited for guys like Mbachu and McLeod to see how they develop over the course of the year.
Yeah, and the good thing about the roster development at this point is we're not going to have to rely on those guys anymore. So you can kind of give them the time to develop. The place that we do need them potentially is safety. So seeing the young safeties come in, who's going to take those jobs? The names are escaping me. There's two of them. Stubbs and Laganza. Those two guys, seeing how they fit into the depth chart, who's the first off the bench behind Castell and Thornton. Those are probably the most important guys in terms of depth when it comes to the freshmen that we're going to actually be relying on in big games this fall.
Yeah, and then another one to Devin's point, obviously, we hope not to have to rely on too many freshmen, but on the offensive side of the ball, you got Dallas Wilson, of course, right? Will's talking about Woods being a household name on the defensive side. Wilson's become that on the offensive side. Obviously, there's been a little bit of concern when it comes to his foot recently, but I'm really excited to see him play. I mean, all the highlights we've seen so far, all the hype coming into the season on the recruiting end when he flipped over to Florida, really excited to see him in action.
Yeah, I think we got some guys on our like Will mentioned, the young guys on the defensive line. I think that's a really intriguing spot. I think there's opportunities for those guys to develop in these early games to potentially make an impact later in the year. We still got that four-game threshold. So I think later in the year when we play the Georgias and going on the road to Texas A&M, we got to play Ole Miss. I think those guys getting live reps early, they're big, they're strong. In that defensive tackle position, we do lack a little bit of depth. We were a little bit more comfortable in the spring, had some summer issues, and so we got some holes to fill there, but I feel real strong about this defensive line class and you guys hammered it with the offensive receivers. It's a really good – Napier's first top 10 recruiting class, by the way. So there's some really good ball players. I think it was fourth in the conference once we got done with the transfer portal rankings as well. So a lot of depth. Sam, who are you looking for on that freshman class?
For freshmen, kind of similar to what Devin said, really excited about the safeties, especially just because we were able to kind of get them toward the back end of recruiting. We've never given him credit for, you know, his talent acquisition, and he's persistent in recruiting. On offensive, and I know probably in more like a specialist skill set, to see what Vernell Brown can do a little bit. And similar to what Hunter said, you know, we've been clamoring for a five-star, superstar, you know, freshman receiver that it seems like every other team in the country has had over the last couple of years. And how come we can't have one? And hopefully we have one in Dallas. But, yeah, those are the guys for offense I'm excited to see.
All right. We got some good young talent. You guys want to get into the quick? We got to go on record, right? We got our records labeled already, but let's go quickly through the games. Give out our predictions. We'll put a graphic up, see where we align, where we differ, and then kind of get into the swing games a little bit. So, if you want to start off, Will, if anybody's got the schedule pulled up, or Devin, go ahead game by game. Tell us what you liked.
All right, so I think we're all on the same page for LIU and South Florida. So we'll just go ahead and start in week three. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, half the podcast in attendance. How do we feel about the Gators going to LSU?
At night. And at night. Really, Lagway's first true road start. I'm not giving Florida State any credit. Half capacity stadium. They are 2-9 at that point.
Off the bench against Tennessee, though.
Off the bench against Tennessee, a little bit different, though. You know, I guess he didn't have that kind of safety net since Graham Mertz went out, so he was on an island on his own. He's going to be in that same situation here. I feel good about the Gators. We really dominated that line of scrimmage last year, and they lose their big tackle, Will Campbell, to the NFL. Our defensive line, like a few of you guys mentioned earlier, is just talented, right? We should be able to I think the Gators go in there and win that ball game. Billy Napier needs a statement win. That first game against Utah in his debut, I really don't consider that as a that was kind of a hero ball by Anthony Richardson. I don't know what went the Gators' way that night, but I think for the first time in his first real league game, big game of the year, I think Billy Napier's team is going to be ready, and the opportunity is going to be there for the Gators to win. I got the Gators going on the road and beat the Tigers.
I will give us the first loss, at least on my schedule. LSU, obviously a really tough place to play. I've been there before for a night game when Kyle Trask made his debut in that stadium, and it's a tough place to play. Obviously, we've all been in a lot of really fun environment games in the Swamp, so we know how it can be for an opponent when it's a night game and 90,000, 100,000, whatever it may be, giving it their all. It's a tough environment, and we talk about that potential rust for DJ Lagway. Well, I have all the faith in him. There is something to be said for those first two games. It's nice to have kind of the cupcakes. But his first real game past the cupcake is a night game in Baton Rouge. And I think that's going to be difficult. So I have that as our first loss.
Me as well. Yep.
I'm with LSU. I'm kind of in prove it mode for Brian Kelly. You know, they've excelled offensively, but they're kind of in that stage where Mullen was a couple years ago, where like elite offenses, not a single question. They're going to be able to score touchdowns, but they can't tackle. I don't know what's happened. Like, LSU has recruited well over the years, and they always seem to have these stud, you know, first, second round caliber defensive tackles. I don't know a single one of their names last year or this year. So I think we have advantages in that we are, you know, what's Billy's bread and butter? Running the ball. Where does LSU really struggle? Stopping the run. And so, I mean, that's why Alabama was able to just blow them out last year, and because Nuss kind of, you know, went full berserk mode in the red zone and threw a bad pick early on. But, you know, that game is very winnable for the Gators. I think it's much more winnable than you typically would have an LSU road night game. I'm not going to predict that the Gators are going to win it, but if we're going to catch LSU on the road at night, I think this might be the year to do it.
Yeah, and we're going to know a lot about LSU coming into that game. They go to the other Death Valley against Clemson week one, obviously. Yeah, so
we'll know
we're
if they can
have
tackle
an idea of what they are. We might have their backs against the wall, but maybe the stadium isn't what it could be if they've had a deflating type loss in week one. So you're gonna have a crazy environment. You're gonna have Death Valley at night, but some of that magic maybe is wearing off with Brian Kelly. We'll see. Obviously, I have this as a win just because I can't get what our lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball did to them last year out of my mind. So I have the Gators going into LSU and getting a huge win in week three. And then week four, ain't no rest for the weary. We go back on the road, Hard Rock, to the rented stadium to play the Miami Hurricanes. What do you got, Hunter?
I have this one as a win. I know Devin and I have went back and forth and debated which is the more difficult game, LSU or Miami. And we have opposite thoughts on that. And for me, Carson Beck just doesn't scare me. It just doesn't scare me. I don't know what it is. Obviously, how we played him last year felt pretty comfortable there. But he does not scare me. They lost a lot of talent. Mario Cristobal does not scare me as a head coach. I think our team, for those that were there last year, are going to be pretty pissed off with how that went. And I think we're going to go in there and get the win.
I agree with everything you said about Carson Beck, about Mario Cristobal, about not respecting their stadium. I can't get the lines of scrimmage out of my head. The same reason why I think we go and beat LSU in Baton Rouge is why I worry about this game. I think the win in Baton Rouge does keep some heat off of Philly, but I have Miami winning in week four.
I understand the concerns with the lines. That's definitely weighing heavily on my mind, but hopefully you can have, you know, a few games to adjust, and depending on how that LSU game goes, like you mentioned, Devin, they should have a weak line of scrimmage on paper. Maybe that can give us some really good confidence going into that week, and we can kind of roll that over, carry it over momentum-wise. But I just got to see a win. We got to beat Miami, so give me a W.
I agree, Sam. In-state rival, they have our number. That's one of the lone rivals that we don't play a whole lot, but they got our number historically. We just can't get over the Miami hump. It would be big for Billy Napier, like Will mentioned, LSU. You know, Brian Kelly is in desperation mode. So is Billy Napier and Mario Cristobal, right, in this stage of their tenure. So the Gators cannot lose this game. I'd much rather afford a loss at Death Valley than going on the road and laying an egg in Hard Rock.
I would disagree. I don't think Mario's in any sort of jeopardy of ever getting fired, not at least for the next like couple years. He would have to have some really disappointing seasons. But I worry more about this game than I do than the LSU game. And it might just be because of how bad the game in Gainesville went last season. But I think that Mario is an excellent motivator. You know, I don't think he's that great with the X's and O's, but his roster is very good too. He brought in Beck for a reason. I don't think Beck is, you know, a top 10 quarterback in the country, but I think he is a solid older guy. Those guys usually are, you know, they don't come back for a fifth year and usually drop off unless, you know, Mike Norvell's bringing them in. And so I think Miami is going to be pretty good. It seems like they've filled some of their holes on defense where they had questions last year, but I'm kind of in see it until I believe it, or believe it until I see it mode with Billy and beating Miami. So regretfully, I'll probably witness a loss.
Will, real quick, I don't want to go backwards. I know we're already on game four, about to go to game five. Did you give an actual prediction for the LSU game?
Yeah, the Gators are going to win that game.
And you know what? The Gators
he did not say it. He did not.
Yeah,
did not
I thought play. I heard him say, I'm not going to say we're going to go in there and win. But then he didn't say we're going to lose. So.
Oh, fine, fine. I mean, the Gators, I'll run through the entire schedule right now. The Gators are going to.
That's what we're doing, actually. I think that's this part of the podcast.
Then they're going to go to Miami and they're going to beat Miami.
Okay. There we go.
So you got to move on to Texas. I think that Florida has the best quarterback in the Florida-Texas matchup. So you know how that's going to go. They're not coming to the swamp and winning. Give me a break.
Mannings don't win in the swamp.
Except for Eli. Was that on the road? I don't even remember.
I thought Eli got us once at home.
I think that might be right.
Yeah, he did. All right.
Yeah, so what do you guys feel about Texas?
Yeah, let's do Florida, Texas.
Yeah, you don't come to the swamp. Potentially a night game. It's either at 3:30 or 7:45 slot. Like Will said, we got the better quarterback. You know, last year was a fluke. We had backup quarterback in a tough situation. Give me the Gators.
Tough one, obviously. I understand you don't come into the swamp and win. I would love to see that would be a statement win. I do have a 9-3 to match up. I'm going to go with the loss here because I've got a couple other wins that I think might be a little bit more important later down.
Yeah, I think that the swamp gets you every couple of years a win like this. You saw it, LSU 2018, Auburn 2019. It's been a minute. Utah 22. I think that you get it this year in the Texas game. So I got Florida beating Texas at home.
Same page as you, Devin, and for same exact reasons. That swamp magic comes alive. You see it often, and this is one where Arch Manning's going to come in there early on in the season and his first year starting, and he's going to struggle, and Gators are going to take care of business.
Well, I've got 10-2 to remember. So the Gators go on the road next week. Texas A&M, after a big emotional win in the swamp, like Lagway goes back home. You know, he didn't get to play in Texas' game last year. He had a lot of family and friends. I think it's too much pressure. It's an emotional win the week prior. I'd say we take a loss in College Station.
Yeah, I hate the spot too. I don't necessarily think it's because it's too much pressure, but I hate coming off the Texas game on the road, 100,000 people again. And, hate the spot. I would take Texas A&M.
Give me a W. Got to see it. Got to be Texas A&M. We shouldn't be losing to them as much as we do. I do agree, though. It is a tough spot, especially if you do win that game. Obviously, I said a loss, so maybe you can have a little pep in your step. But give me a W.
That's the time of year Texas A&M seems to kind of start falling apart, too, usually. So maybe we'll be the beneficiary of that this year.
Willie?
I hate to say it, but I see a loss there. They have Mississippi State at home the week before. They sort of have a similar schedule to us where they ramp up a little bit, and then their first real test is Notre Dame on the road. Then they get Auburn at home and then Mississippi State at home. And so they won't have had the benefit of a bye week like we have had at that point. But – you know, I don't think Kyle Field is all that intimidating on the road. The Gators won in 2012. Billy Napier has won there. We should have won if not for a Malik Davis fumble and Evan McPherson kick back in the Trask days. But I think that's one game where they might be really rolling, just having, you know, especially if they had gone up and beaten Notre Dame, they could be 5-6-0 and looking like one of the best teams in the country. And so that place will be an absolute madhouse. But I think that's going to be a pretty tough road game for the Gators. So regretfully, our first loss of the season.
I have that as a loss as well, similar to Jackson's reasons. I think that Texas win is going to be a big one, and it takes a lot out of you. Then you travel, go out to College Station. Like you said, there's a chance that, you know, they're undefeated or one loss at that point, and that place is buzzing. I think it's a tough spot, so I had that as a loss.
I think we can all skip over Mississippi State five ways across the board. That's going to be a win. Homecoming uniform to throwbacks to the 70s days. So, we'll count that as a win and jump into, thankfully, our second bye week and our last bye week of the year before we take on the Dogs. I think this is the last year in Jacksonville, am I right? Before they jump over to Tampa and Atlanta?
Atlanta next year, Tampa after that.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Where do we – this is the measuring
stick, We used to be a proper country.
I mean, this is the measuring stick. This
give me a W.
Every year.
Need it.
We need it, right?
Gotta have it.
Put me down for a W. Like I said, for the Texas, took that as a loss because I see some bigger wins coming down. I think this – if now's the time to beat Georgia if you're Billy Napier. They have some question marks at quarterback with Stockton. I'm sure he'll probably be fine, but – they're good all everywhere else, you know, Kirby, the Kirby factory, but I got to see a W there, man.
Kirby did some equivocating at SEC Media Days this year, talking about how young they are.
Oh, really?
Good. So I feel.
Oh.
And we have.
Oh, we lost Devin, but he was about to say he feels.
I think he was going to say he feels pretty good. So what,
we're going to chalk that up and put that on the graphic when we release it. That's a W for Devin.
That's a yeah. W. Yeah.
Although Kirby might be doing his Saban thing where he's, you know, feeding his own team kind of
rat poison
just to fire him up a little bit. But I think the Gators were going to win that game last year. You could feel it. If you looked at the Georgia fans whenever Lagway threw that touchdown to Mizell, every single one of them was getting ready to go home crying. They thought they were done. They couldn't believe that Billy Napier was figuring it out. And – people forget that Jacoby Jackson brought that thing. Did he tie the game in the fourth quarter?
Tied the game
with 4 minutes left.
With Aiden Werner slinging it back there. I mean, I think the Gators have a better team this year. But I don't want anybody on Georgia to listen to this because they'll clip it and put it in the locker room.
This is bulletin board material for the Dogs.
I ain't scared. We're the Florida Gators. We're winning in Jacksonville this year.
I feel the same way. Yeah, I feel the same way. Last year was actually the first year, besides COVID, that I missed the Jacksonville tailgating scene in that beautiful game in a long time. And so personally, I feel my presence being there again this year is going to help carry the Gators across the finish line. I do think we beat Georgia this year. Like Will said, we outplayed them for a lot of the game last year until DJ got hurt. And even when DJ got hurt, we still fought, like you said, and tied it up towards the end. I feel strongly that we beat Georgia this year.
So five across the board. Gators get it done. Then we go on the road, Kentucky. We know what happened last time and the only time Billy Napier's visited the Bluegrass State. Thankfully, this go around, it is not a noon. I believe 11 a.m. local kicker. They're an hour behind, and we know what happened there. So
after that game's going to be that game's a flex.
Yeah, I think it's a 3:30 or a night. I don't think it's a noon one. So thankfully, we get to avoid that. But after an emotional win, I got the Gators. You know, I think we make the next step after beating Georgia. You know, we don't see a drop off. We go into Kentucky, handle business, and I think right now I got the Gators at 7-1, I believe, after this point.
Yeah, I got them at 6-2 at this point. Same, but I have them beating Kentucky. They do seem to kind of be the monkey on the back when it comes to the last 5 or 6 years. Obviously, I know we beat them a few times as well, but there was obviously that stretch there. What was it, 31 times in a row that we beat Kentucky? And then all of a sudden, each year it feels like a coin flip for a stretch there. So I do think it's the year we kind of get it back on track. Obviously, we won last year, string a couple together, and think we take care of business.
Yeah, you talk about Billy being able to restore the program, and that is like what you said, Hunter. That's beating Kentucky continually. So I think we're going to do that, and I don't know what to really expect of Kentucky this year. I think the bugaboo with them in the past with the Mullineers and was the line of scrimmages. They would beat us up. Obviously, we've mentioned not this year. We should kind of be able to overcome that. And I think they're already kind of doing some Mark Stoops buyout talks. I thought I saw some tweets. So who knows if he's even coaching around that time. So give me another W. So I'll have them 6-2 going into Ole Miss.
There's some weird voodoo going on with Kentucky. Weird vibes right now. They think they're a basketball school again. They're getting, you know, massive transfer gets in the basketball transfer portal like Denzel Aberdeen. They're bringing in Mark Pope. I don't know. I think Kentucky might be back to the old Kentucky.
I didn't have that name on my bingo card for this podcast, by the way. I did not have Aberdeen's name coming
Aberdeen
up.
Aberdeen shout.
Yeah. He's wearing the wrong color blue.
That's going okay. to okay. Lexington late in the year. Lexington late in the year scares me a little bit. Mark Stoops teams always seem to give us problems. But this isn't a very good Kentucky team. Gators should win.
And that brings us to Ole Miss. First time we've been to Oxford, COVID year, obviously, but, you know, I don't even know the capacity. It's about a fourth of that stadium. It's been a long time since we've been to the Grove, sold-out stadium. We ruined their season last year with their playoff hopes. We expect to have playoff hopes at this time of the year. I think we're 8-1, 7-2 across the board right now for our predictions. I believe half this podcast will be at that game. I know myself, Hunter, Dev, maybe Lovelace, and Will, are you going to Oxford?
I am not.
All right, as a wedding.
Come on now.
We did forget to – we skipped over the first two games and forgot to mention Will will be at a wedding this season opener. Not even in attendance in Gainesville. So.
Jackson, is that black flag mentality?
Yeah. I don't think so.
It is not very black flag mentality. However, I would like to set the record straight that I think I've missed like six home games in the last 25 years. So I have a pretty good attendance record. I've been to several away games. I go to several every single year. And even when the Gators are terrible, I spend my hard-earned money to go watch them stink. So I don't want to hear it.
So Will won't be there, but the other half of this podcast will in the Grove. Austin Simmons, I really like. Obviously, we know Lane Kiffin as a coach. Unfortunately, I'll be there. I think I'm like 4-16 on the road all the time. So I got the Gators taking an L here, kind of playing roles reverse from last year. Fortunately, our playoffs hopes will still be alive after this and drop to 8-2.
Yeah, I have a 7-2 coming into this game. And back-to-back road games, a good team, well-coached team. I think Ole Miss takes this game, mostly because I said 9-3, and we're not losing to Tennessee and Florida State at home to close the season.
Similar to Devin, I have Gators 7-2 going to Oxford and taking a loss, mostly just based on I think Lane's just going to pull out some funky voodoo, man. Like, I don't think he liked losing to us last year. We all know his little love lore fanfare with our fan base and Twitter and stuff. So I think he's calling all the flea flickers, all the fake puns. He's going to try to do everything to win that game. So I'll have the Gators leaving Oxford 7-3, and they're not losing the last two.
I feel the same way. I have 7-2 coming in, and for really both the reasons Sam and Devin said. To Devin's point, I haven't met 7-2. I predicted either 8 or 9 wins. So because I don't see him losing to Tennessee or Florida State, kind of have to give him a loss here. And then for Sam's reasons, I think Lane Kiffin's going to have some stuff up his sleeves. I think he's going to be preparing for this one a little longer than some of the others after we knocked him out of the playoffs last year. And so I have us losing to Ole Miss.
I'm sure it's shocking, but I have a speeding Ole Miss. I think one of the things that really strikes me about Lane Kiffin is that his teams do not respond very well to adversity. When they get down, they get down. If you go, like, I remember thinking after we beat them, they basically had to blow the doors off Mississippi State on Jackson Dart Day to, you know, show the playoff committee that they were legit and that they still had a legit shot, and they played terrible. And so if you look at their schedule, I think they're going to struggle with South Carolina. I think they're going to struggle with Oklahoma, who I think is much improved. I think they're going to struggle with – they're probably going to lose at Georgia. They get a little bit of a bye with the Citadel in between right before they play us, but I think they're going to kind of be reeling toward the end of the year. I think the Gators, on the other hand, are going to be riding high. I think, you know, when you've got a player like Lagway and the playoffs are in sights, you know, he can sort of rally the troops, and I think we get a dub there.
Well, do you have us at 8-2 at this point, or 9-1? What was your other loss you had?
Texas A&M only. After coming to my senses, I realized we're not going to lose to LSU or Miami or Georgia.
Maybe. Or A&M, man.
Or A&M, you know, or Ole Miss. So the Gators are going to run the table last two games of the year.
The Gators are undefeated until they're not.
That's correct.
I do have one note on the Tennessee game. We were talking about weddings. I'm actually going to be in Florida for the Tennessee game. My buddy's getting married because usually that's like the Samford – LIU week. He thought he was being big brain, and conference expansion said no. So we're gonna have to see what we can do. But I will be at a wedding for the Tennessee game.
I assume five ways across the board. That's a dub, I believe. Is Urban Meyer going to be in attendance? They dropped a post yesterday with the induction to the College Football Hall of Fame. If he's in attendance, I mean, that is just an absolute. Blow them out by 40, I think.
Need both of those last names to be.
It is anyway, but that place is going to be off the walls with Urban Meyer down there on the field getting some sort of presentation and award.
Yep, that's that game.
Yep.
Prime time. Give it
to us. And then, obviously, Florida State.
40 burgers.
50. I mean, that should just be a massacre at that time of the year.
Yeah, we're going to make last year look like a close game.
It was for a little bit. It got interesting.
Yeah.
It was not as big of a beatdown as I would have liked. I don't think Mike Norvell is going to be coaching the Florida State Seminoles by the time that they come to Gainesville.
Ooh.
That's a hot take.
Which is regrettable because I would like them to perfectly be like 7-5 and just perfect. Not a threat, but he's still there forever.
You can even argue after last year, like 6-6 and making a bowl. They're like, all right, back in the right direction. Give him another year.
Oh, that would be great.
That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect.
Well, that kind of 9-10 wins is where we kind of sit. Another question from one of our favorites amongst this group chat, Jack Young. More wins, Jags or Gators? I'm sitting at 10 wins. I'm not a Jaguars fan, so I'll just say under. But I'll give it to our Duval fans.
Duval. Gators, easy.
Easy.
Dev, thoughts?
It's got to be the Jags. 17-0. The Gators can only go 16-0. So.
Yeah, it's honestly, for being a diehard Jags fan, as a few of us are, on this podcast, it's a really sad question that has to be asked. And if you know Jack Young, he is, I mean, as optimistic with the Jags as it gets. It's sad that the question has to be asked, and it's even sadder that I think the answer is Florida. I do think the Jaguars take a step in the right direction this year, but 7 or 8 wins is more likely. So I'll go with the Gators on that one. But I appreciate the NFL talk, Jack.
I think the Jags might be like 11-7. I think it might be a dead tie.
They got an extra game they're playing now?
What is it, 11-6?
17 games. 17 games.
I don't know. I pay attention until fantasy football ends. And then
which is early for the playoffs. Usually. Yeah.
Right. Depending on the league.
Hey, we're all making some trips this year. Which one are y'all looking forward to the most?
Oxford. I'm pumped for Oxford. We're going to LSU, a few of us, and I've been to Baton Rouge before. Obviously, night game there is going to be unreal, especially because we'll be 2-0. They'll be 2-0 or 1-1, depending on that Clemson game. But either way, win or lose, that game's going to be nuts. But Oxford, I mean, I've heard so much about the tailgating in the Grove. I'm really excited to see it in person.
I agree, Hunter. I believe some friends we're going with has got a tent in the Grove. They purchased that. I think Dev and you guys have coordinated that. So we'll be mingling amongst the others that are traveling from Gainesville to Oxford. I'm stoked. I've been to Death Valley 2015, Treon Harris's first start after Will Greer got suspended, RIP. So I've been there at night. I'm stoked for Oxford.
I'm heading up to the Bourbon Trail for the Kentucky game.
So excited for that. I did the Bourbon Trail before the PGA Championship last year. So round two for me. And I'll be heading down to Miami, which is never a pleasant road trip. It's actually the biggest dump outside of Tallahassee. But we'll see some friends, so that'll be nice. But we'll see what old Fort Lauderdale has for us.
I'm looking forward to whatever trip I can make. We'll just put it like that. Maybe I might have to throw a Hail Mary to Oxford.
Yes, and we got to get you on a plane to or you can just stay after the Tennessee. Stay for a full week. Thanksgiving week, it's a short work week, and make an appearance at Florida State to end the season. So, last real segment is kind of our fun segment that we've got here, a little bit different. Our favorite first question on an over under, and this is the hottest topic every offseason. It's really amplified this year after Will's tweets have gone semi-viral, getting on some local radio stations here in Jacksonville, a few rants, and it seems like every press conference, every scrimmage practice photo that comes out, everyone is anticipating what color shirt or sweatshirt is Billy Napier wearing. So over under black polo appearances by Billy, we're setting it. I've set it at 8.5. It gives you a little bit of leeway of some of our rivals, the season opener and the throwback game. I'm going to go under 8. I think under 8.5. I think he kind of fooled us. He went 2 straight weeks wearing something similar to this. He appeared this past Monday in his typical black hoodie or polo. Will, we got to get your thoughts, man. What are you seeing out of Napier on the sidelines and his wardrobe?
Dude, I've been saying it, that Billy is kind of figuring it out. He usually wears black to practice, but this season, this training camp, he's been wearing a lot of white and blue. He did sort of, you know,
spring game setback. Too.
Spring game too, but I had a little setback the other day when he showed up in black to his press conference. And so I'm going to be in London for the LIU game, but you better believe that I'm going to be in a pub down under somewhere in Hyde Park, London, pulling up the LIU stream just to make sure that he's in orange or blue.
Give me over. I think he bats 1,000 all black all season.
I'll go over as well, but the fact that we're having a talk about this, Will, my goodness, we're gonna be getting on some Twitter fights this year. I'm gonna have to put the Twitterverse on my back and go against you when it comes to these takes.
Dude, Billy could end all discussion. He knows what he has to do. These are my demands: orange, white, or blue, school colors. That's all.
Yeah, I like your hoodie.
Over. There's no other answer. You got to have the mentality all year.
Yeah, that's our biggest over-under. Quickly, hot takes, everybody. We're filled with them. We've provided a few already. Hunter, I'll let you kick off this segment. What do you got for the Gators this season?
Yeah, I got a fun one. It's a hot take for a reason. Obviously, DJ Lagway, talk of the town. Everyone's really excited to see him. I'm super excited to see him. But a hot take is that Jaden Baugh finishes with more Heisman votes than DJ Lagway. I understand the running back room we have. I'm really excited about it. Super excited about Jackson. I'm excited to see Daniels in action. But I'm a believer in Jaden. I know many are, but because we have so many backs, they may not agree with this take. And then also, the DJ side, right? There's no way, right? Because DJ, we know what he's capable of. But I do think with the offense Billy runs, the numbers, I don't want to say underwhelming, but these 350-yard passing games, 3 touchdowns that come to fruition for these Heisman quarterback candidates, I don't know that we'll see that. I think we'll have, we'll rely on the run game a lot. So that's where that hot take comes from.
Devin, what you got for us?
William Napier, SEC Coach of the Year, after his generational quarterback stays healthy, his 5,000 returning snaps on the offensive line make holes for Jaden Baugh, and after
this team leads the Florida Gators to an SEC championship appearance in Atlanta. The Gators go undefeated at home. Billy Napier, SEC Coach of the Year. And then my second hot take, George Gums will be your first Gator defender since Ja'Kai Polite in 2018 to reach the double-digit sack mark. And he will lead
retire
the team.
Moms.
He's going to retire moms.
I like that. I got a couple. I'll go – I don't know if they're necessarily hot. I'm going to go two bricks this year. We're going to have an All-American offense and defense. Not going to say who, but Slaughter could repeat. Could be Lagway. Defense, plenty of options. If Gums gets double-digit sacks, we're littered with talent. So give me a couple All-Americans and some new bricks out front. And then – my other one, just want to highlight a guy we haven't really talked about. I think we're going to have an 1,000-yard receiver this year, which shouldn't really be like a hot take, but we haven't had one, and I don't even know. Someone else probably knows the answer, but I'm excited to see J. Michael Sturdivant. I think his acquisition really flew under the radar, and I think, if anything, Billy's shown that he knows how to evaluate talent, but if there's one thing he hasn't missed, it is receivers in the portal. The pipeline, you have had Ricky – was awesome, went to the first round, and then you had Shim DK and Elijah Badger. And I look back, and JMS was more productive than all three of them at the previous stops pretty significantly. So I think he's going to step right up into that situation, be a great deep ball threat for Lag. And I'm really excited to see JMS, all the pictures, all the videos. He just looks the part. Guy looks like a stud. Stay healthy. I think he's going to be the dude in the receiver room. Obviously, we love Dallas Wilson and the what he could be, and excited to see Trey Wilson again. But I think Sturdy's the guy.
What do you got, Will? One or two? I know you were filled with about 100 of them, but let's keep it.
Yeah, I mean,
keep it short.
Yeah, quantity over quality when it comes to hot takes. I think Mike Norvell gets fired. I think that I don't know if this is so much of a hot take, but I think at the end of this season, Scott Strickland is going to extend Billy Napier. I don't know when his deal runs through right now, but I can just see a headline where we go like 9-3 and he gets an extension through like 2032. That's my hot take. We'll see. We'll see if that happens. No inside info. I just think that
if the game is going undefeated, nice, like you predicted.
If he goes undefeated, like I predicted, then yeah, he could stay here for as long as he wants until we Ed Orger on him. You know, but
yeah, I'll start with the defense. I think we've been around 71st in the country last 5 years in team defense in regards to scoring. I believe this will be our first top 20 scoring defense since 2019. I think with Ron Roberts, like I mentioned earlier, year two of his system, we've got a lot of studs. That defensive line, front seven might be, come time, middle of the year, late in the season, will be the best, one of the top two or three front sevens in the conference. Offensively, we talked about JMS, Dallas Wilson, but Vernell Brown is a guy that is just – different. He moves different. He was a high four star. I mean, he was a big time talent that could have gone to Ohio State or Miami, but he chose Florida. Thankfully, I don't think he'll have the season or the career as Percy, but he's electric. I mean, he can make guys miss and get the top end speed pretty quickly. There's a lot of variety of ways we can use him out of the backfield or in the receiving game. I think he brings an element in the special teams games as well. I think he'll be the first either punt return for a touchdown since Kadarius Toney or kickoff return. And by golly, it's been Solomon Patton that we've had a kickoff return for a touchdown. I think that was 2013. So it's long overdue. And a guy like this in space, he did it all in high school. He's been making waves so far through fall camp. I think, kickoff or punt return out of the young freshman.
That seems impossible.
I got one more hot take. This one has to do with a little bit of recruiting. I think Billy Napier lands another five-star quarterback to take over after DJ Lagway.
Class of 26 or 27?
I'm going to say 26.
All right. I like it. We got that on record.
Why not?
If you go undefeated, I think, you know, if we go 10-2, I think I'll add another hot take. First top five class under Billy. There's a lot of guys in the mix that want to come play for Lagway. If we land a five star, like Will said, there's gonna be a lot of guys chomping the bit to get in the program to play with him as well. So
if this guy, he's starting to figure it out. If he wears orange, blue, or white and really figures it out, oh my goodness.
Wins on Saturday.
That's the one thing, man. If he it just could figures be a that lot. Out.
I think it would help with this third down play calling.
Well, guys, this is a lot of fun, and this is just the first of many to come your way. And this is a little bit different approach that we're going to take throughout the season. Obviously, this podcast is going to be more initial reactions right after the games, get your our raw thoughts. This is a little bit different with the season preview. Everyone's hashed out all the preseason content imaginable, so thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our page on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. We will be posting there, posting some fun clips, graphics, all that good stuff throughout the week. And we just want to thank the Stadium and Gale Network again for providing us with this opportunity, this platform. And we will see you again next Sunday after the Gators start 1-0 against LIU.
Talk some real ball.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.